Living on the road, my friend.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Friday afternoon. Way I am getting ahead of myself here. 251-343-0106. If you would be in touch with the program, I'll get this one in real quick. D.I. Texter writes, the president does what he wants when the courts rule against him. The Dems will do the same when they are in charge. Okay, if you say so. Joining us now on the line, he is our returning champion. We do this every Friday about this time with some limited exceptions throughout the summer. But State Senator Chris Elliott joins us on the line. Senator, how are you?
I am doing well. It's a beautiful day in South Alabama. A couple rainstorms here and there. But other than that, pretty day. Looking forward to a good weekend.
Hey, I know what I wanted to talk to you about. Is there anything the state of Alabama could do that you think would meet the muster of the federal constitution to force transparency on these third party PACs operating out of state?
Oh, that's a good question. And the answer to that is maybe. But we have to be careful, and I think you've got some pretty recent Supreme Court decisions on campaign finance laws that make it pretty clear that money is speech and it is protected. And so do I like what happened in the last election cycle and all of this kind of out of state money that was uncoordinated in nature coming into the state? No. Do I think we can prohibit it? No, I don't think we can constitutionally. And so the question is, how do you handle that? What do you do with it? I will use my race as an example. There was a bunch of money spent in my race that was uncoordinated, right? I had no idea it was coming, when it was coming, what the topic was going to be. It didn't ever come to me or to my campaign. This out-of-state entity, usually a nonprofit, purchased ad time on radio stations, TV stations, or whatever, and wrote and aired an ad that they developed without any coordination from the campaign that they paid for to be, to be broadcast. What am I as a candidate supposed to do with that? Is that supposed to be something that I report? How would I even know what that is? Is somebody out of state spending that money in my race or any other's race? How would we require them to report it? Is all questions we need to look at. It's real easy to say, hey, they need to follow these campaign finance laws and they need to make sure they do that. It's a little bit more complicated when you start getting into the nuts and bolts of it and just how that happens.
Well, I mean, like, first off, if I do this, and I go to Georgia and open up a P.O. box and just start mailing out mailers, what do you do? Send a state trooper to come and get me? So it's that. But like, so the argument becomes this: well, no one's saying they can't do that. We just insist that we have more transparency. And I don't think you could do that either, because like, who's to say if for whatever reason Jeff Poor wanted to endorse a candidate? I don't endorse candidates, but let's say I did. And I did it on the radio. And the state of Alabama comes knocking at my door wanting to see who was paying me for that endorsement or whatever it may be. I find that to be, I think that's something that's prohibitive and it's a stipulation of free speech.
And that's where I agree with you. I think you can pass, and Alabama does this all the time, we can pass a law, we want to, but I think it's going to run into some very obvious constitutional issues and some very recent Supreme Court decisions that are going to get the law struck down. And so I too am in favor of transparency. And I think that one of the good things about Alabama's campaign finance law is that we are very transparent. If you give me money, I've got to report where it came from. And then I've got to turn around and report when and how I spent it. And on top of that, as we get closer to elections and those types of expenditures could be more impactful, your reporting time frame gets really short, right? You get into monthly reports and then weekly reports and then daily reports and all of those types of things. And I think that's one of the strengths of Alabama's campaign finance laws. The problem is when you have these uncoordinated expenditures and they're from out of state, where does that report go? How do you make that report? You require the out-of-state entity to make a report to the Secretary of State's office, but in what does he, is it an in-kind contribution? I don't want that on my report. It's not something that the campaign coordinated. Yeah. How do you do that? And so I don't know how, I don't know what the mechanics look like to gain that transparency. And I think that's something we need to look at. But I don't know. I don't know that we're going to be able to do it. And I don't know. I want to be careful if we go down that path to make sure we don't run afoul of the Constitution.
Yeah, I just, because this is not what we need to be dabbling in. I get it. I'm certainly not a fan of sports gambling or anything, but you know what? We have a freedom of association, a freedom of expression, a freedom of speech in this country. And this is the system we've agreed to live in, and people can exploit it however they want. That's their right.
Where do you stop, right? To your example, right? You have somebody out there on Facebook paying for ads that's boosting something that they decided they were going to endorse. Well, is that an expenditure that needs to somehow or another be tied to my campaign
and
report back to me? And so, exactly. And so I tend to agree with you. It's just how does that work? And I don't think there's a good solution to that problem.
And look, campaigns are different. I mean, you want to run for office. You give up some of this. You accept the rules. These are the terms of holding high office or seeking high office in this state under our system. But then when it becomes separate from that effort, from what you have control over, Senator, then I don't think the state has anything to say about it.
Well, and I think you hit the nail on the head with that right there. When it becomes separate from something you have control over, that's an important distinction, because how do you ask a candidate to try to control, report, or even own, right? Take ownership of something that by definition they have no control over whatsoever. I do think you've got a lot of candidates that were unsuccessful that are seeking to point to this as the reason that they weren't successful. I also think you've got some members that are nervous, understandably, about the proliferation of this type of funding and what that means for their next race. And so you're seeing these discussions. But this is where it becomes important, you know, get your principles together before you go start writing some legislation and figure out what's important to me. Is money speech? You know, how are we going to do this, and how are we going to, you know, if we're going to do something? And I think it's going to be very difficult to achieve what a lot of folks are clamoring for right now.
Well, the other thing is, if you don't like it, if this is something you oppose, if you don't like it, if they're doing it on your behalf or against you, speak out about it. Talk about it.
Sure.
And say, look, we know what you want out of this. You keep doing this, and you're not going to get this. We know it takes a little homework to figure it out. But you tell these people, you tell them publicly, I don't want you sending out mailers in my district five times a week, okay? And if you keep this up, I'm going to be a no vote on whatever it is you want. I mean, I don't know, but there's ways to combat this that don't involve an act of the Alabama legislature.
Right. And so I completely agree with you. You saw a number of candidates in leadership, or even I did it, put out, hey, these are not my mailers. This is not me doing this. Pay no attention to that. It does require a level of sophistication on the voter standpoint, though, to look at this and say, this says paid for by somebody else. I need to give it its due weight and not get on Facebook and say, I'm not voting for this guy because a picture of him showed up 10 times in my mailbox today. I get that it's annoying, but understand that if that's what you're making your decision, if you're basing your decision on being manipulated by some out-of-state interest for or against, that's on you.
Well, unfortunately, but that's the world we live in. And, you know, it's just another burden on a candidate, I suppose, to have to combat whatever position they are, you know, for or against these mailers. But if that's the case, like, don't run for office if you don't like it that much. This is the way the game's got to be played in the system that we have agreed upon.
Well, and it's the way that it's always been played. This is not something that is new. And we've seen this in federal elections for years and years and years. So this is not something that's necessarily new. It's just new at the state level, and it's new at with this type of volume of funding. And those two things are alarming people. But like I said, get your principles together before you start addressing project or topics like this, because otherwise you'll go down a route that could cause you more problems and cause the state more problems than if you hadn't.
Well, it just bothers me. And we had Todd Stacey on, and I mean, so I kind of pushed him on this, and well, I'm not a lawyer. It's like, okay, but do you see the problem here? Well, let's just pass a law and then see what happens, which sometimes happens in Alabama. I mean, you know, pass laws and we have to wait and see what happens. But I think on this one, where you're, if you're just looking at your conservative ideals and you believe in a constitutional republic with our Bill of Rights, you really got to be careful here.
Well, and obviously I agree with you on that, and I'm not a favor of let's pass a law and see what happens. That's not a good way to legislate, and not something I would be in favor of. We have to be way more careful, especially when we're dealing with something like this. You know, we only see what happens every 4 years or so, right? That's as often as we're going to see, you know, get that tested, and it takes a while to turn a ship. And I think, again, a lot of this is on the voters and the candidates to clearly effectively communicate the candidate's message, and for the voters to be able to discern between the candidate's message and the outside interest group's message. And I have enough faith in the voters to be able to do that, whether that's a positive message about me, too much messaging about me, or even a negative message about me. The voters have got to look and see what the origin of that is. And in most of these instances, Jeff, we were able to point to where the money was coming from. I mean, your reporting and 1819's reporting did just that. You knew which was alpha money. You knew which was sports betting money. You could tell what it was.
Well, and you know, people complained about the law being violated. And I think there were complaints being filed, but like, obviously, nothing came of it. It just continued. I just, if we're going to throw a Hail Mary punch or whatever on something, and we're going to say, hey, let's pass it, see what happens, let's do it on something besides bailers and third party PACs. Do it on your abortion on congressional lines or whatever, and let's test the courts there. On this, I don't think this is something that I really would want the Attorney General arguing before a federal court.
Well, and I'll take it one step further. I think that the bigger issue is not the amount of money. It was the fairly gratuitous way it was spent. And I think it got to the point by these outside interest groups. I think it got to the point where it's detrimental to the candidate that they purported to, you know, want to be helping. And so I think what you see is a total change in the next election cycle. People want to see these mailers. And they don't want to see the text messages. And so what are we going to see? You know, automated text messages and automated, you know, these mailers. I think those things are going to go away, and you're going to have to find other ways to interact with the voter than that, because I think those are old, outdated methods. And I think people were as frustrated about the methods as they were about the you know, where the money came from.
I'll tell you something. I may have stolen this, but I think this whole exercise, this cycle, was a flex to show this is what we're capable of.
And I agree. And not just for the members that were on the ballot, right? It was for the members that weren't on the ballot.
Hey, you play ball with us or see what we could do here.
I think you're exactly right in that, and I've said so before, and I think that's what they're doing. I mean, you know you're in the legislature, and to the extent you think that way, right? Hey, I need to vote this certain way so that I keep somebody off my back next election cycle. That's not how I think. I vote for what I think's right, and then every 4 years go to the voters and try to explain it. And so far, so good. But there are going to be members that look at it and go, ooh, if I don't vote this way, then that particular entity is going to come after me, and they'll spend $1 million in my race, and they may beat me. But again, that's been going on forever, right? You look at what Club for Both Growth does on the federal level. I mean, they've been very effective with it over the years. They'll do it again. And so this is not a new thing.
Well, I mean, such an expenditure at a state level legislative race is a little unprecedented. But, you know, something else, though, it's not like these guys were resoundingly successful this cycle. And I think they hurt. They hurt some of the – I mean – you know, if we're looking at it from a gambling standpoint, it wasn't like either side, pro or anti-gambling, had a great night last month.
No, I don't necessarily think so. And I think the anti-gambling, you know, efforts were not just necessarily they weren't just necessarily anti-gambling. There were folks that were anti-gambling who also had other issues that they were pushing.
Like pro or anti-vax, and you throw in you know, just a bunch of different things, right?
Exactly. And so you're going to, you know, you'll continue to see those interest groups be active. And listen, that's their purpose, right? That's just supposed to do.
That's what they do, yes. And they had the right to do that. You may not like what they do and how they do it, but we have adjudicated this.
We have indeed. And I can tell you almost universally, I do not like the messaging of people who disagree with me. Right. But I will absolutely defend their right to say.
Yeah. I mean, I just think this is the world we live in. And you want to be in that office. You got to handle it. Senator, we got to get out of here. But we always appreciate your time. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks for having me. Enjoy your weekend.
State Senator Chris Elliott there. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
I've nothing to do. It's good to see you. I must go. I know I look a fright.